So one of the things that kind of is interesting and exciting is the subtitle that you have has to do with ethics, right? And you know, we generally don't see that kind of thing in a biblical theology. So, you know, why'd you choose to make ethics kind of a focus here with regard to biblical theology?
Well, let me say a couple of things. So I think that was one of the suggestions I had, and Andreas only too happily took this up. Lots of biblical theology tends to be pretty ethics free. But if biblical theology is describing what the Bible writers are saying about God, his character, his purposes, his will, and therefore what we as human beings should be and do, then we're not just talking about the ideas that we have or our biblically formed convictions about who God is and what he is doing in the world and his plan of salvation and so forth. Of course, that's the bread and butter of biblical theology. But we've got to essentially go into the ethical area. And even in systematics, really properly understood, ethics is part of theology. That's why I'm often in Bible colleges, if it's a small Bible college, who's teaching ethics is often the systematic theologian, who's teaching ethics in the college as well, because ethics, properly understood, is part of biblical theology. And so again, we worked our way through the Bible. We disciplined ourselves. So every Bible book we're coming across, we're not just asking about themes. How does it fit into the storyline, the salvation history plan? But what are the ethics of this particular book? Now, of course, it's the role of systematic theology and preaching to go into the messy detail of application in daily life and so forth. But it is the role of biblical theology to accurately describe what are the ethics being taught in different Bible books. Yes, so that is a distinctive. And at the end of the book, when we talk about the future of biblical theology without having a crystal ball and not being prophets, we could at least say, well, this is what we would like the future of biblical theology to be. And what one of those, a bright future of biblical theology has to be, let's start writing biblical theologies with lots of ethics in it. In lots of ways, in terms of apologetics, it's the so what question. Many people stand back from the Christian faith because they can't see how it's connected to their daily lives. So the ethical question can no longer be avoided. And so that's why Andreas and I were absolutely committed. This is going to be biblical theology with lots of ethics.
Yeah, and I think Greg hit the harder task here to show how, Old Testament various books still are relevant for today. But clearly, we both agree that Scripture was not just given to inform or to increase our Bible knowledge, but to change our lives. And so I think our book is infinitely more practical and relevant for people in the churches, including for pastors and for preachers, because we have an embedded biblical ethic throughout.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you approach the Timothy passage on all Scripture is God breathed and is profitable. Well, what is the Scriptures there? That's the Old Testament that Paul is referring to that he's saying is still profitable for the people who have seen the coming of the Messiah and who are now called to live because we've have that word placed on our heart and now we're to go and do things. And so what are those things that we can do? We can still look back to the Old Testament. And in fact, I think many times today when we get into conversations on the society and all the ills that we're facing and where to go to, a lot of times we're missing out a good chunk of ethical duties that that we have that the New Testament authors would apply to their letters from the Old Testament. You say the biblical narrators seldom preach and they're committed non dictatums. They neither approve nor disapprove of any conduct of their character. The reader is not always meant to supply the lack. and it is easy to make wrong judgments. Close attention in the text will prevent the reader from falling into such an error. And so your book clearly attempts to do this. I remember Tony and I, we were going through God Delusion with Dawkins. And let me tell you that Dawkins is no biblical theologian, because he wants to apply everything that Lot did as a mirror of what Christians should do, and how what Lot did doesn't seem right. Well, congratulations, Dr. Dawkins. You know, we're there with you. Maybe it's not best to throw our daughters out to the wilderness of rapists. So it's just interesting that we are this book will help in laying out foundations of looking at narrative stories, or even stories that are poetry. You know, I definitely went through some of the Psalm and Proverbs, and pulling out the ethical applications to those as well. Dr. Goswell, was it hard not to add anything that you haven't said already for Ezra and Nehemiah, or did you have to limit yourself, or did Andreas have to limit you on what you brought in there?
No, we were all pretty disciplined, and exactly. But of course, we know some areas of the Bible in a huge amount of depth, so you've got to be highly selective and so forth. But that was a healthy discipline, because we're really trying to boil down things, not to simplicities, but what really matters and what's going to be most helpful to people. If I can just make a comment too about ethics, committed Christians can make the same mistakes as Richard Dawkins, just because the Bible doesn't approve or disapprove. People have often then assumed, the passage doesn't have an ethic, there's no do's and don'ts. So we're trying to set an example how do you read the Bible ethically when the Bob Wright is not taking that kind of didactic, kind of teacher type stance. So I think we've got a lot of helpful things in this ethical area. The Bible is meant to be applied. Every book is giving valuable input to us, how to live the Christian life. I think we're providing ethical training, as well as helping people to work out how do we discover what the theme of a book is and so forth.
Yeah, I would say, it requires skill and also fairly sophisticated hermeneutic to do justice to the various genres of scripture. And I think that's why we wrote this book in our late 50s and early 60s rather than in our 20s and 30s, because it's quite a task, not just to do that for one or two books, but for all 66 of them.
Yeah, you guys speak about the ability for us to always kind of want a proof text, and it's very easy to go to that. I remember wanting to teach on Romans 9 to a high school class, and I found out that in order to do proper respect to Romans 9, you know where I had to start was in Romans 1 and run all the way through, it was such a joy to find the flow of Paul's argumentation there. And I'm sure I missed a lot, and there was probably, you know, my stack of notes that got dwindled down to a 35 minute talk. But it was a great thing, and I can see your book here helping with that flow of taking it from chapter 1 verse 1 to wherever the book may stop. And so I think readers will appreciate the hard work that you put in there too, and may see other application points from there, and not just from what's being done, but also from who God is. I've found that this past year I've been working on why is the Bible not just these and thous and do's and do nots? It always seems to be, well, here's God's character. You know, I think Ephesians is a perfect split down the middle. Paul goes, this is who God is. This is who you are. Now here are the things you do. And he draws back to who God is in order to get you to walk out and, you know, feed the widows or help the church what have you is being the theme there in scripture.
But that again brings out that aspect of it's doctrine as well as ethics, isn't it? And that kind of biblical balance is essential. Or else we're really distorting or giving the wrong impression, aren't we, of what the Bible is about?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.